Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Just as you've made us, and with everything in our hearts, thank you that we don't have to pretend before you. We don't have to pretend to be somebody else or something else. Thank you that you see everything in our hearts and you love us. Lord, help us to just bring anything this morning that might be keeping us apart from you or making us feel rubbish. Lord, help us to offer all of these things as a sacrifice of worship to you. Lord, even if we don't feel like it, help us to worship and praise you anyway. Lord, we just pray for a fresh touch from your Spirit this morning. I pray that your people here would really feel your presence. That beautiful bit from Psalm 16, he is near and nothing can shake me. Lord, would we be firmly rooted in you and found in you alone? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you that even though that song was written many years ago, that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. You never change, Lord. You are, these things are still true and will still be true into eternity. We thank you that you are such a good and kind God. We thank you for the offering that has been brought this morning, the offering of worship and the financial offering, Lord. We pray that you would bless it, that you would multiply it and help us to use it wisely for your kingdom to advance, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Auntie Jane.
Is that on? Yeah. Thank you. Morning, everybody. I sent an email around in the week. You might have seen it, whether you have children that you bring to church or whether children you don't, or whether you don't bring children to church. But I think it's something that I'd like us all to think about, and that's praying. And when did we start praying? Who taught us to pray? What do we pray about? These are all questions that I was interested in really knowing what our young people and children were doing. Jesus taught us how to pray. If we read his word, he taught his disciples how to pray. And we all know the Lord's Prayer. But also, Jesus went on his own sometimes to pray to his Father, to a quiet place. And if he did that, then it's something really important that we need to do. And it's just interesting to know how our children and young people's faith is growing. If you're a parent, and I know a lot of you aren't, but if you're a parent, then I think they are with you a lot, your children. And if you love God, then that is the place where they will be spiritually nurtured in your presence. I know that we pray corporately here, and we all say amen and agree. We do it in junior church. We all pray sometimes at the end, or an adult prays, and the children say amen. But when we really, really know God, when we really know him, we know that we can talk to him anytime. And I was so encouraged that I had a response that said that these particular children, they did pray about their feelings. They prayed about the people that were close to them. They prayed any time. It wasn't at a specific time of day. They prayed any time. And we know we can do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I know I've quoted it before, but it doesn't say get a great resource at home, sit down, and do church. It doesn't actually say that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But we need to model, as parents and carers and teachers of these children, we need to model what it means to have a close relationship with God and to talk to him regularly. I'm thinking of an example, you know, when it's just in the mundane things of life. And if the children never see us or hear us talk to God, how are they going to learn that that's the way to do it? If we get cross, do they ever hear us say, I need to talk to God and say sorry? And then we can have peace and we can carry on with our day. I'm a parent. My children are very grown up now, but I'm not saying I did it all right. And I can remember those occasions when I did get cross, or I did think something, do something, have feelings about somebody that was wrong. And our children need to know that we think and feel like that, and we need to come to God with that, and they need to see it and they need to hear it. Singing worship songs if we love God, you know, just out loud while we're in the shower. All these things show our children that we love God, and that we are with him. He's with us all the time, and we can talk to him, praise him anytime. So I just want to encourage us all, really, to live it. It's not what we do, actually. It's not the great resources that we have. It's what we become and who we are in front of our children and our young people and each other. So I'm just going to pray now before we carry on. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you were and are our great example. Thank you that you taught us how to pray. And you taught us about our Heavenly Father and the relationship that we can have. Father, I thank you for the fact that you chose us. And when you chose us and we knew that in our hearts, then we have such a peace. And as Josh preached last week, that joy, Lord, is there deep down and it never goes away. And whatever our circumstances, we can just turn to you and you care, you love us and you listen. Father, I pray this for our children as they grow in their faith, that they will know that you love them, that you're there for them 24/7, and that you'll never leave them or forsake them. Lord, I thank you that some of them know you in their hearts, and they know that already. Lord, I pray that as a fellowship, as a group of people who love you, we will model what it means to live a life that is full of your spirit and has you within us. So, Father, I pray now for our children as they go to their various groups, that they will feel that they can share things and talk about things in those groups, Lord, and go away from this place today feeling that they've been loved, that they've been safe, and that they've learnt more and grown closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jane. I just want to thank God as well for Bethel having an incredible history of kind of official and non-official fostering of young people as well. So there's a long line of families who have taken other people in and helped when things are tricky. And I've just loved being kind of coming into to part of that, really. And I'm really grateful to all the aunties and uncles that are here at Bethel. Sometimes things are hard when you're a parent. But I know my kids particularly have really appreciated lots of people that are around and that are much more patient and creative and refreshing to be with than your own parents. So just thank you, and thank you to God for that as well. We're going to sing again, and during this song we're going to sing Christ Is Enough For Me, and during this song our children and young people are going to leave to go to their sessions. So yeah, we're just going to pray for them before they go and before we sing. Father God, thank you for the major blessing of children and young people in this fellowship. Lord, we thank you for their hearts for you and for fun and friendship. Lord, would you just bless them this morning as they go to their sessions? We pray for a special blessing on the leaders. Often it is exhausting to do this work over and over again, Lord, but we know there is much fruit and there is real blessing in those times of service to you as well. So we just pray for the whole lot of them this morning, that they would really be found in you and that they would meet you and have a fresh word from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. It's really good to see you. My name's Keith. I serve here at the church. It's a real privilege. And it's good to see you. If you're a visitor, welcome. Don't, as we've already been said, please don't rush off unless you have to. Make yourself known to us. It'd be really, really good. Just a couple of things. We started a couple of weeks ago in our midweek Tuesday evening. We're looking at the Holy Spirit, Him, His ministry. We want to unpack over a few sessions over the coming weeks. Maybe, I don't know how long the Lord will have us do it. But we want to unpack some of the myth and the mystery and some of the stuff that causes us to kind of recoil a bit and worry about what that might look like if we fully cooperate with Him on His kingdom mission. So please, Tuesday, 7:30 in the lounge, if you really want to. It's a contribution. You're not just listening to me. It's going to be a contribution about how does that look like. And so you've just missed the last one. I'll recap when we meet for a couple of minutes, and then we'll please do. If that's something you'd love to contribute and come along, what's your experiences of the Holy Spirit? How has He shaped you, guided you, surprised you? I hope so. That's what He does. And please pray also for Andy Hardy. Many of you know Andy. He's a great friend of mine. Chloe's has done actually a whole congregational study on this church, which is nearing conclusion for his latest PhD. That's his hobby. And really, really wonderful guy. He's not well. He's really seriously not well. And Jenny rang me, his wife, on Friday, and he needs a month off work at least. I'm not surprised. I told him 2 weeks ago to just go home. And from the college, and he's driven, and but sometimes the Lord has His ways. So pray for Andy Hardy. I'll do that in a minute. And also those who are love to be here. I saw Derek Simpson on Friday. Love to be here. Can't always be here. This weather is hard for people who struggle to get out. So, you know, one of the things that we want to really embrace people. Do call people. Derek's got a direct number in his flat in Elsdon Village. It's just, I know some of you do, it's good. We pass to one another, so that's great. It's a real blessing. And so please, wouldn't it be great? Maybe you've got some time, you're busy with a job. I don't know. One of the things I was thinking, I need permissions from the people, was maybe someone could put a stamp on half a dozen envelopes and send them the BN every Monday morning and just say, hey, we're thinking of you, praying for you. Here's the notices, they're not all online. And if that's something you could do, maybe I'll get permissions. But, you know, we'd love to bless people. Imagine on a Monday, Tuesday morning, them getting a note, just a BN with just things like that. The little things that matter, you know, they matter. It makes a world of difference. It connects people, and that's important. Next Sunday, we have our members meeting straight after. It's about 20 minutes or so, where we're looking to affirm Josh as co-pastor here. Josh is going to, if you don't know Josh, he's there with the check shirt on. And we're looking to affirm what Josh has already been doing for 5 years, effectively, alongside me. And so that's right after the service. And then after that, that's about 12:30, probably over that side somewhere. If you're a member of the church, please do come along and participate in that. You can observe as well, if you're not, and just to see how we do things. And then after that, at 1 o'clock, if you're in the Portugal 2020 mission team, we have a meeting. A reunião. So Portuguese. You're impressed with that, yeah? It's a meeting about Portugal 2020. Please come along to that. So that's important. I think that's it. There's things to pray for, but I'm going to read scripture, and then we're going to look at... We're in 1 Thessalonians at the moment, and we're looking at disciple, what it means to be a disciple, a close follower of Jesus. That's what we're looking at, in case you weren't sure. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can come. As has already been stated, we can pray. We can say amen, but Lord, we want that to be in that inner place. That inner place of knowing You, Jesus. There is no greater thing, the song says. And on that cooperation, that first time when You turned our head toward Your things, however long that was ago, whether we were 10 or 16 or 50 or even older, Lord, we at that point said yes to Jesus. And Lord, might it be that we would remind ourselves today what we said yes to. That Lord, the issues of life have come in, and just like that old kettle that got kind of scaled up, we've got scaled up with our language of church, with our heavy programs, with our religious life, would you just deconstruct that, Holy Spirit? Would you come now? And might you just help me to fall back in love with the Jesus I said yes to and followed? Lord, might it be that I can say that, the world behind me, the cross before me. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, that I'm in this place now to serve you. So we pray for those who are frail, so many. Lord, we pray for them that they might know not only our prayers, but our practical encouragement, our help. For Andy Hardy, Lord, bless him. Lord, we love him. We thank you for his ministry, his wisdom, his service for you. Oh, Lord, might it be that with Andy and Jenny, and think of the older children there too as well, with Tim and Lizzie, Lord, that they might not be so anxious, but that they might, as a family, know you in the center. Draw them together, would you, around you, and speak to them, we pray. Just encourage us now in our time, in this wonderful, wonderful letter of encouragement to a very, very, very young church. Might we rediscover what it means to be followers of Jesus for your glory. Amen. So Paul's written, if you've got a Bible, it's in 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. It's Paul's church. Paul planted with his friends on his mission journey, his second mission journey, and now he's he was worried about them. He was worried about. We get worried about people. I don't know about you. If you've invested in someone in Christ, you think about them a lot. I do. I think about. I got an email this morning from someone saying, "Remember that guy you invested in? He's leading worship this morning in this church." And they just emailed me out of the blue and said, "It's worth it, isn't it?" And you think, "Wow, yeah, he was a bit of a tearaway." And so Paul invests, and he gets news. He's carrying on. Paul's an apostle. He's got an apostolic vision. He's not per se a pure pastor, but he's an apostle and evangelist. But he's got a heart, a loving heart, and he's probably in Corinth. And he gets the guys who've been back to this church, because he had to leave early because there was persecution and all sorts of evil things going on. They tell him, "Paul, it's going great. These young Christians are doing fantastic, Paul. I know you're worried, but you need to know that they are still going for it in the light of evil persecution of the Romans and all sorts of things. And some of their families have been imprisoned and even killed. They are still serving Jesus, Paul." And so Paul takes, probably dictates it. Let's say he takes his pen out or whatever, dictates the letter, and he says this: "Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you." Not the Roman peace, God's peace. "Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Holy Spirit." And that's when my tablet decided just to pop off. You know it off by heart, Keith, so it's okay, and it's on there anyway. "And your endurance prompted by the Holy Spirit." Let's do that one again. "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words." You didn't just agree with what we said. We're really good at agreeing with people. Some people are great at disagreeing with people. But most of the time we're good at agreeing that, "Yeah, I agree with that. It's a great idea." Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. There was a transformation that it burst out of you. "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became actually then imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering." This wasn't a nice seminar where everyone was getting donuts and then they agreed with a nice message on the platform. In the midst of the worst possible trials, they received the gospel and responded. Isn't that amazing? What do trials do for your faith this morning? In the midst, you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you welcomed the message. In the middle of it, in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy, how crazy is that? With the joy given, it's not you, I'm really happy everybody, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It's there in the list of fruit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you like those bells on a morning. It rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. These are weeks, months old, Christians. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. I find that amazing. Do you know, I just remember, this congregation have known me for 11 years, and I came to Christ because my uncle shared Jesus. He didn't just share Jesus, my uncle Alan. He showed Jesus. In fact, I saw Jesus before I heard about him. You see what I'm saying here? I saw it. He was just, wow. It just flowed out of him. He just was an amazing, I just wanted what he had. And when he told me it was Jesus, that didn't put me off. He said, yeah, I love Jesus. And, you know, that was that. And so I wanted to become a follower too. And we used the word disciple. And it's really interesting because what kind of happens over time is words become, they lose their meaning. Do you know what I'm saying? The words lose the meaning. They do. They really do. To the point that it's almost pointless saying it. So lots of churches say we do discipleship. And I'm not saying that I don't know. But because it's lost its meaning, sometimes they don't mean that. Or they think they mean that. So they forget the major project. The brief was from the commanding officer. You probably know. Matthew 28:19 said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That was the brief from the commanding officer way back to the disciples. And churches all over are doing discipleship, but they forgot it's an international project. Go into the world. And they also forgot that it's a program of, you know, it's a viral project. You got to go, you know, he didn't say start small groups in Jerusalem. I don't think Jesus said that. He said, I want you to go into the world, start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. And we somehow forgot and reduced it to some kind of course that someone produces in the west of London somewhere. It's like, I've done the discipleship course. I've got the certificate. Here we go. It's like a bit like safeguarding a little bit. You know, you get a certificate at the end of it. I've just done that. And you go, okay. And so words can use their meaning when they say, yeah, we're thinking of doing discipleship, people say, oh, I've been doing that for years. And I'm excited at first. And then I get not so excited. So the word Christian has lost its meaning. If you tell people at work you're a Christian, that's a nice start. But 57% of this country think they're Christians. So that tells you something that actually the word has lost its meaning in this country. It seriously has. 57% of people in this country still think they're Christians. 8% go to church, about 6% go to evangelical churches, maybe slightly less. What I'm saying is, maybe we need to call ourselves something else. I call myself a Christ follower now. That gets attention. Do you see what I'm saying here? Words we use matter. The language we use matters. I'm a Christ follower. I'm not a disciple. I am a disciple if you know what a disciple is, but I'm a Christ follower. And that embraces the whole Christian disciple thing. Because we can lose the whole momentum. And the good news is in God's word and with his spirit. And another thing that we're going to add today and look at today in our considerations, the rest of the series is online. We're about 4 weeks, 5 weeks in. Is we have everything we need, Peter says. Everything we need. If you're a 1 week old, 2 week old, 4 week old Christian, 6 month in Thessalonica, we have everything we need to live a godly life and to be a disciple, to be a Christ follower. We have everything we need to be a Christ follower from the get go. But what has happened? Let's say what's happened is we've said a prayer with somebody and they've got the badge. I'm forgiven, and that's beautiful. So we've gone through this plan of salvation that you need to be right with God, and that's absolutely right, and it's true. And then you say this prayer, and you're in heaven now. No need to fear, and absolutely right. That is the equivalent, and I bore everyone here most weeks with the fact that I'm ex-military. I've still got the haircut. That's not my choice. Now, to me, the equivalent of just saying, great, let's say this prayer, Lord, thank you, forgive me, is like getting someone in the military, putting a uniform on them, and saying, well, that's it. Away you go. You look like you should be in the military. But, you see, it's really interesting. The Thessalonians, from the get-go here in Thessalonica, were straight in the middle of conflict, the kingdom battle. I'm not sure I preach enough on the kingdom battle. You might think, Keith, you preach too much on it. You know, can I just say, I think it's important you understand me, then you might feel sorry, a bit more sorry for me, or not. We're all shaped by our background. So the problem I've got, and it is a problem, and I see it, and people tell me, and it's good, because we've got a blind spot. We don't know what it is, so you wouldn't know what, if you knew what it was, it's not your blind spot, okay? Other people, I go on about combat a lot. You need to understand, before the age of 21, I was in two combats. So that shapes it. When I read the Bible, which says, before our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the spiritual forces of evil. And when I read Thessalonians, to this baby church, which says, in the midst of that severe battle, you had joy in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit. It's because we're in a battle and we are asleep. And if you think you're not in the battle, you are a sitting duck. Serious. Serious. And that frightens me to death. It frightens me to death. So by the time of 20, we didn't say, Keith, you're 18, sorry, you're not going to go to the Falklands, or you're not going to go to the Gulf in 21. You're not going to do that. You've got the uniform and all that training, all the time you thought we hated you when we were horrible to you in the training. I was so grateful for those people who made it hard, who said it as it was. Can I just say, we want our ears to be tickled, says Paul to Timothy. We don't want people to say it as it is because, you know, it's difficult. Of course it is. I can't ever remember our commanding officer Jesus saying, you know, this is going to be a breeze for some of you. You just need to go to the right church. And so we see here. It's so hard. But what I love, this encourages me greatly. Because the Thessalonians are baby Christians. They haven't done 20 years in a church somewhere or Bible study or college. And then they can be in the battle. They've got no choice of being in this battle. When you go home, you're in a battle. We're all in a battle. Every day of our lives, there is the forces of the enemy. They want us to fail or to be mediocre. And he's encouraged them up to now. Paul has said to the church at Thessalonica, church, you're doing so great. I've heard you're doing amazing. Do you know your identity in Christ? Keep your identity at the top. You are the church of God. You're not just any old ecclesia, any old gathering. That was a common word people used for having a meeting then. You're a gathering of God. You are special, guys. You're the ones God has chosen. He's invested in you. We saw last week with a sofa. It's lovely. You can't get any closer to him. He's already there. And in that joy he gave you in the midst of severe trials. You're a people who have got faith in the one you follow. And he reminded them about how you work so hard. But he also reminded them about their armament. You know, sometimes we can hear, you must try harder. If that's what we hear, then I need to be clearer, or we might need to listen better as well. A bit of both, maybe. Because really, the armament, the previous verse was, the armament, how we can stand in the midst of trials is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God gives us that absolute capacity to stand when we just feel like breaking. He comes. And I don't know sometimes how he does it, but I love it. But there was something as well that was so important when it came to creating, to developing a church of multipliers, of followers of Jesus, disciples, whatever word you want. And so today I've called it, all the series is following by something, following with love, following in suffering. And today is following, believe it or not, by example. It sounds like a bit of a contradiction to us, following by example. So I'm following someone else, but by example as well. And can I, what I want to do today, please try and stay with this. If you're a maths person, I don't know, I'm not. The word disciple comes from the same core, mathetes. It's from the same basis of math. I'm scared of maths. But I've got a little formula. If we really want to know what we're doing when we're developing a disciple, just hold fire. You'll see it on there shortly. Not yet. But we see here in this text, these first few verses to the church, these baby Christians, we see the mechanics of multiplication. How actually a church that completely fulfills Christ's command in Matthew 28, how it looks like, what it looks like. We see a church that is fulfilling the Great Commission completely with an international vision, with a momentum, with a virality, with a beautiful sense of we're not growing this church at Thessalonica. That's not our only goal. And first of all, it started. I've only got 2 points today. That's good, isn't it? You don't know how long they are, do you? I'll be okay. We've got communion. Don't worry. It started with the example of Paul and his fellow workers. That's where it started with. So the whole thing, just like my Uncle Alan, the example of Paul and his fellow workers, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And this is what Paul says to the Thessalonians. Remember when he first came? You know how we lived among you for your sake. This was totally selfless giving by Paul. It wasn't, is this suiting me to do this? You know how we lived amongst you, says Paul, how we, Paul, Silas, companions, for your sake. And then you became imitators of us. You saw it. You saw what was going on. And so this formula now that we see, here's if you want a discipleship formula, if you've got a pen and paper or you can write down, this is the formula for discipleship. The gospel, the power of the cross and resurrection, life, death, resurrection, return of Jesus, anointed by the Spirit of God who gives deep conviction. And then you see the lived example. Those three things, if that's what you have in your locker, you are dynamite for the kingdom of God. Can I say what we often have is gospel, proclamation. Maybe the Spirit is mentioned every so often. It's just about the words themselves. Or gospel plus Spirit. But there's something I love. I'm old, so I love Blue Peter. Here's one we prepared earlier. That's what it looks like. My uncle said, Keith, you didn't say this. I loved what you said. Doesn't it fit him well today? Seriously. Jane's saying, look, when you're in the shower, you're praising Jesus. Everyone in my house are probably like this, but I know what you mean. When things happen, you get that letter, that email, that difficulty in the family, people say, so we're going to pray about this. Because as we often hear, being a follower of Jesus is taught for sure, and I thank God for our teachers. But it's caught. It's taught and caught. And there's nothing sadder for me. I've had, you can imagine, over many years, people coming to me sad and saying, I've blown it with my kids. They never saw us pray. They never saw us read the scriptures. It was a dusty book. Can I say, all is not lost. They never stop being your children. And there's something beautiful about a transformation, because when we do this, they'll say, wow. And there's something about heartfelt repentance. You know, I know we're big and they're little, although in my case, they're the same height. In fact, I think that Rachel's bigger than me. The fact of the matter is, saying sorry, or maybe I wasn't the Christ-following example that I really wanted to be, isn't a bad thing sometimes. and saying, but now you need to know that I have decided to follow Jesus with all my heart. And I'm praying for you every day. And you're 45, I know, or 50, or whatever it is, but I love you as my child. And later on, just in case we still feel inadequate, we can point them always to the supreme example. That's exactly what Paul did. You know, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. So Paul was a signpost to Jesus. So all the frailty, you know, you might not want to be like me at all. But the fact of the matter is, it's Jesus we need to be like. And so the gospel formula, if that lived example, it's just words, isn't it? When we communicate by words, I think it's something like studies have said 7% is retained. So 7% of this sermon might be good morning and let's pray. I don't know, but maybe a bit more. But the example, you can't ignore it, you see. So it's so essential for me that people can see the gospel at work in us. Ah, oh, that's what it looks like. You see, I honestly believe that people in our workplace, people in our school, people in our family can ignore and deny the teaching of the Bible. They do. Easily. We know the Spirit comes and He applies it, and keep preaching, keep declaring by preaching, communicating, whatever way. But it's almost impossible to ignore and deny a life lived for Jesus completely. I'd never read the Bible, but my uncle was a walking scripture. You see what I'm saying? I saw it first. And so I wanted to go through the book that had changed him. I wanted to know what had changed him. And it's beautiful. And I thought, wow. I just want you to have a reflection. Just for a couple of minutes, a minute maybe. I've got a question on there, I think. I might have put it on there. I can't remember, Karen. Is it not on there? About just think of someone who really influenced you. Someone who really you look at, either now or in the past, and you really see Jesus. You really see. It might be. Oh, that's it. Who has influenced you greatly, so it's probably my typo, to follow Christ? Just for a minute now, think maybe there's someone in this room. So we can deny the belief in the Bible, you see. We can deny all that. I don't get it. But when you see a life, so just for a minute, I want you to bow your head now and maybe thank God for them in your heart. Let's just have a think about who it is. Gosh, you know, I don't know who you had in your mind there. I thank God for my uncle. There were others for sure. My first pastor, my mentoring pastor, who I heard preach, and I heard him open the Old Testament. And when I heard that guy open the Old Testament and preach on passages that might as well have been written in some different language, almost culturally they were, the Spirit of God, when I heard him preach on the Old Testament, my heart sang. I thought, wow. Wow. Don't you just thank God for those people now that you've just thought of? Deny the truths, the songs we sing, whatever you want to do. Deny all that, but you can't deny a life lived for Jesus Christ. And Paul says, you know, as a result, you know how we lived among you for your sake. So what happened? They wanted it. It says, so you became, verse 6, you became imitators of us. You did. You then became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message. Do you know, the Thessalonians heard the gospel, the Spirit came with deep conviction. But when they looked at Paul and Silas and Timothy, they knew what Christ following looked like. That's what it looks like. Ah, brilliant. We didn't even talk this week, did we, about that? So I love this. This is from the youngest to the oldest. This is what it's about. They know what it looks like. I can't deny it. I've seen it for myself. And so as a result, the second thing, they became examples. Surprise, surprise. This is the whole discipleship thing. They became examples to others too. So as a result, in 7 and 8, and so you became, because you'd seen Paul and Silas and Timothy doing this in the heat of battle and all the ups and downs and praying ceaselessly and in the heart of things, because you saw that, you also, 7, so you became a model to all the believers in your local life group. No, not at all. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia, Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Do you know why? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast. And you know, there's no, as my brother says here all the time, I love these sayings, yeast has no hierarchy. It's not about bringing people to hear the pastor yeast talk about Jesus. It really isn't. You're yeast. You're beautiful yeast. You're beautiful. If you're Jesus this morning, you're beautiful yeast. You're wow. You are viral. Is that right? You got freedom to do it. I heard that an Italian manager just took over the West team in Liverpool at the moment, Everton. I'm a Liverpool fan, sorry. But he's a brilliant manager, Carlo Ancelotti. And I was reading an article on how he's turned the second team in the Premier League. There's only Liverpool got the best results in the last 7 or 8 games. It's just a real turnaround. Sorry if you don't like football, guys. That's the way it goes. But one of the football players who's been there ages at the club said to him, the manager just came up to me and says, you know, you're allowed to score goals as well, you know, don't you? All you needed was permission. And sometimes we just need permission to be viral. You are a blessing. You are yeast. You are in places I couldn't, wouldn't, probably can't get in. It doesn't matter. You are viral. And so this is what happened. So it became known. And imagine the yeast there. Imagine all the postcodes. If we wrote all our postcodes on that massive, big, wonderful thing Tom put up at the back, all our postcodes, CV1, CV3, CV2, maybe different postcodes, on there, how many people would we be viral to? And using all the platforms and all sorts of things or whatever Roman roads God has invented these days that we can communicate with people. Can you just imagine if we suddenly said, I have permission to be yeast? What that means? How releasing that is, that I can model what it might mean. But modeling's good because you're gonna let the Lord down and you can, oh, do you know the times I've let Jesus down have been some of the best times I've been able to say, but my Savior's not like that. I'm still learning. And so you became a model to all the believers as well. Secondly, they became examples to others. And this is, I don't want to overcomplicate it this morning, but this is how discipleship 101 works. We hear the gospel. We are saved to follow. That's the gospel we're told at the beginning. Not just a plan of salvation. We're told you are to be examples and you are to be followers. Right at the beginning, right at the get-go. You're saved to heaven and then following to in the kingdom of God. So this is the discipleship whole thing. We are saved to follow. We see the examples of Uncle Alan and others around us, whoever it is. The Spirit brings deep conviction to purpose, a new life and direction. This is what we've seen in literally 8 verses. So then we follow ourselves and encourage others wherever we are to do the same. That's it. All in the first 8 verses. Isn't it great, this letter? This letter just nails discipleship. It nails everything. It's just beautiful. So the Thessalonians weren't in Bible class for 10 years. They weren't in receive mode only because they didn't do the qualification for 20 years. They immediately, like that young 18-year-old on the front line years ago for me, or 20, they were immediately in action for the king. As yeast, absolutely infectious, viral yeast. Beautiful. It's beautiful. So from the very outset, there was an understanding that they were to pass it on. Whatever you've seen in me, Paul uses imitation language. Corinthians, Thessalonians, whatever you see in me, put into practice. That's what he does. And so the people they would influence would pass it on and pass it on. Have you heard about those Thessalonian Christians? They've only just come to Christ. That's really amazing. Wow. That's just viral. So a question. The earlier question was thinking about the person, and I'm going to close this and we're going to look at the ultimate example of one who says, follow me. The earlier question just was think about those who we could thank God for right now. That's what we did earlier on for that minute. Praise your Lord. But the question is now, if you're a yeast, you really, and I believe this, you said yes to following Jesus. You did. You did. How are we? How might we encourage, be a model, whatever language, to those around us, whether it's believers, not yet believers, it doesn't matter, but not yet, just, you know. How can we, might we do that in our homes, in the school gates, in the staff room? Because I think this breaks it out of Jerusalem. You know, a typical model, someone leads a small group. This is what someone might say they're doing discipleship. And there's nothing wrong with small groups. So we have a great small group and they come for the food and other things, I hope. A typical model of discipleship, which really just puts the shackles on the whole project, is someone leads a small group of people who are dependent upon that person. This person who leads this group has all the answers, all the experiences, all of the following stories. And in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, they're still listening. You have permission to be yeast. And it's exciting, isn't it? And then come back with your stories. And let's share stories here. I would love that. It's really good. You've got a great story. You've got a great story. Do you want to say that for a minute? Could you do it now? Oh, Jenny, give a round of applause to Jenny. I'm going to bring it down. Jenny, I'm going to bring it down. Jenny, I'll bring it down. I'll bring it down, the mic. Yeah. I was just so excited by this story that Jenny shared this morning with me. Sorry, Jenny, but yeah, it should be. Yeah.
We had started a prayer group down our road because of him nagging. Another thing. God nagging. So we met the first time with, we've got a couple who we knew were Christians down our road, and the wife came the first time, and she'd been telling us about the guy next door who they'd been able to chat with. In the months since, he's actually started going to church with them, which is really encouraging. But also, we've got a Facebook group for our road, because ours is a very friendly road. So I just put a thing on the Facebook group saying, if anybody wants any prayer, we're going to be meeting once a month, and just give me a message and we'll pray for you. So we got this really vitriolic message back last week saying how awful we all are and how what a bunch of idiots we all were. But I also got a personal message sent to me from a lady who I've never met before, who lives down the road, saying, Will you pray for me? I just want to let you know as well that Christians in Coventry, when we met at City Prayer and Praise in November, have been challenged to pray for every road in the city over this year in 2020. So I think there's a bit of a focus on it in June. But, yeah, start thinking about that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you can clap if you want. It's great. And I think we need to dispel another myth quickly. That it's not all about the public stuff. I mean, Jenny didn't have a clue I was going to ask her to do that. She'll probably have a chat with me afterwards, I don't know. But Grace, sister, you know, but you've got a lot of it. But I wouldn't even call them small things. The small things are big things. It's that conversation with that child, with your friend at work. That's massive. It's all of life. It's 24/7 following. There's no special moments we do this. There are things that are encouraging, so we share. But it's all of it. We've been placed where we are by the King. He's supremely good at this. He's been doing this for years, centuries, at placing his people. So don't be discouraged by the big stories. Let's just play our part like that football player. You've got permission to score as well. You've got permission to do this for Jesus. And just be your beautiful self, who he made you to be. Don't be like anything someone prayed, Liz, at the beginning, prayed today. Don't try and be anybody else. So important. So important. You're beautifully you. And people, your friends, are that will like you. So as we bring this down and this young Thessalonian church. Wow, they're young. In spite of fierce opposition, this is what it says. They were imitators of the gospel. And as a result, what did Paul say in verse 8? Listen to this. This is what happened. Wouldn't it be great if this was a story of my life? The story of our home, our church, this city. In verse 8, so the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Did you know we're doing some disciple leader training across the UK, interdenominationally as a church, a little church? And do you know there's a discipleship movement starting in Lithuania because of the faithfulness of brothers and sisters in this church? Did you know that? Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that crazy as well? How does that work? How does it work? And Paul says the Lord's message rang out. You know, sometimes you hear the parish bells, don't you? We don't have them on here. We didn't have enough money. The parish bells are great. You know, I like them. They were designed as a call to worship, to remind the parishioners who don't go, so they can come if you want. But you see, our announcement is not simply a call to worship, but it's a call to follow. That's the thing. It's a call to worship and follow. Isn't it beautiful? The bells, and Paul's not talking about bells here. He's talking about, you know, the bell. Your message rang out. It was an announcement to the whole, wherever you were. This was crazy. This wasn't a kind of subdued thing, a hobby on a Thursday. This was like really amazing. I'm going to shut up. This is great. Sorry. I just 1 Thessalonians 1 to 8. 1 to 8. Just read it again. Wow. The virility of that. So can I just close and say, our example matters. It makes a difference. It really does. The Thessalonians knew they were saved to follow, that their example mattered just as Paul's and Silas's and Timothy's example mattered. It had such a massive influence on them that they also had the baton of following and they echoed out to the world. I just want to close this section by, earlier we had a minute's reflection thinking about the person or people that we saw Jesus in that really influences, or maybe still do. Maybe just have another bit of reflection, a minute or so, silence in your heart. Think about those now the Lord has put you amongst. Maybe you're a full-time carer. Spend a lot of time with one person. You might see that as restricting. Paul never saw his restrictions. He saw them as opportunities. Do you know I've been chained to the whole of the palace guard and everyone has heard the gospel, he'd say. Isn't he great? What an attitude. Try to ask the Lord to help you see your situation as his assignment for you. For now, maybe even. And just think now in the quietness of your heart, Lord, who are those you have put me among now? Don't crave a new group, a bigger group. Who's those now? And then just ask the Lord to show you how you can model what it means to follow Jesus amongst them as well. Let's just have a quietness. Thank you, Jesus, for our assignment. The fact that we have your permission, completely, utter command, Lord. We don't naturally do it, otherwise you wouldn't have to command us to do it. But Lord, you've told us to go. wherever you've placed us, to be that viral yeast for you. So not only with our words, you come in the power of the Spirit of God, Lord, come would you. But also might it be that as we cooperate with you, Holy Spirit, we model to those around us what it actually looks like to follow King Jesus today. And that they themselves would desire to do that. Oh Lord, might our witness individually, groups, whether it's life groups or children's work, youth work, cafes, dropping, all these things, work in the city, in the schools, might our witness and work ring out across this your land. Might it be, Lord, that it becomes known. You are the one that become famous. That, Lord, we might follow you wholeheartedly. Oh, Lord, thank you. This table again reminds us you're coming back. We do this until you come. Oh, would you find faithful followers, Lord? Might it be you help me. Thank you for those you've placed me amongst, for those who have influenced us. We commend ourselves again for that first time we said yes to you. And we follow you now in Jesus' name. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'll say it again. No turning back. Amen. If that meant absolutely nothing to you, maybe you're not a believer in Christ yet. You don't realize how much he absolutely loves you so much. God loves you just as you are. And he sent his son to die for you on the cross in your place. And that was a kind of the starter. And what he wanted us to then see is the Spirit comes and prompts us. He wants us to then respond in love and gratitude. Thank you for the cross. I now in return give you back the life I owe to you. Help me, Lord Jesus. If you never said, Lord, sorry, thank you so much for the cross. I just plead with you with all my heart today. Come to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Trust Jesus. He'll never let you down. In the midst of great trials, just as the Thessalonians, he will give you that ability, even on a thread sometimes, to keep going for him. And greater than that, to give you a life that rings out to all those he's put you amongst. Come to Jesus now. If you've been challenged today, don't leave here saying, I want to follow him. I want to say yes to him right now. Because this is what it costs. And whenever I look in the mirror and see a failed example of a follower, which is every day, I look at the cross and see one who was tempted in every way, just like me and you, yet was without rebellion, lived that beautiful life, and gave himself completely voluntary, wasn't sent, only against his will. He knew what he was doing, but out of love went to the cross for you and for me. Isn't it beautiful? And so, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him, C.T. Studd. And that's arrested my heart at 16, and I pray it will arrest yours now in the Spirit. And so the stewards are going to come, and what they're going to give out today, as they always do, we have some symbols for you if you're not sure about this. We have some bread here, and we have some juice. It's just grape juice. And these are reminders, visible reminders, because we forget, believe it or not, of the body of Jesus that was broken on the cross for us. And then that blood, the precious blood of Jesus, that was shed that I might know him and be forgiven. But it's this table of complete hope. He says, I'm going to come back to see how you're doing, but I'm giving you the Spirit to be with you. I'm going to come back for the church and take you to myself as my bride. And I can't wait. I say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So, I don't know if we've got, have we got a song first, Liz? Are we supposed to have a song first? Is it? We could, let's have a song. As long as the musicians, you always do a great job as stewards. They manage to serve the musicians while they're playing. I don't know how we do that, especially if you're a drummer, but it's beautiful. But if you're not sure, can I just say, if you're not sure you trusted Jesus, it might be a good time to let these elements pass you by. Just let them pass you by. And ask yourself in your heart, Lord, can I come to you? Now, if you ask yourself in your heart, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you now. Take the elements. And maybe this is your time. Or maybe you're a cold Christian because you got wrapped up in all the life of church and you fell out of love with church and people, and then you thought you fell out of love with God. He still loves you. Totally. Maybe use this time to say, Jesus, I want to do this again. I want to remember when I first said yes, Jesus, to you. And I'm going to follow you with all my heart. Use it. This is why he did it. So we could get to these points of reflection and follow him wholeheartedly. So let's do that. God bless you. We're going to sing first. Thank you so much, Liz and the team. Brilliant. And then the stewards will come.
Thanks, Keith. We're going to sing Only by Grace Can We Enter. So just as we sing, just be encouraged. It's not by our own actions or our own doing. It's by the grace of Jesus. So please just accept that this morning as you come.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you come. You come. Into your presence you draw, and now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.